like to read with you as we begin from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read the last four verses of the chapter from verse 29. As it would happen, the message that I felt the Lord has given me for you today will be a kind of midrash, a kind of commentary on the words that were read and spoken about from Luke chapter 6. That always blesses my heart when that happens. So you see if you can figure out why I think that's the case. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 29. When you talk, don't say harmful things, but say what people need, words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will help those who listen to you. Do not make the Holy Spirit sad. The Spirit is God's proof that you belong to Him. God gave you the Spirit to show that God will make you free when the time comes. Don't be bitter or angry or mad. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. Never do anything evil. Be kind and loving to each other. Forgive each other just as God forgave you in the Messiah. Let's pray. Our Father, it's such a marvelous privilege to have your word. We would even remember at this time those brothers and sisters in many places in the world who do not have that privilege, either because it is forbidden to them by authorities or because they simply cannot afford to own their own Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of owning a Bible and studying it together publicly. We ask, Lord, that as you have inspired this word to those who wrote it, that you would inspire us also as we read and consider it together. We give you praise and thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to start by telling you that I have a problem with forgiveness. Before you come up to lay hands on me and throw me out or do whatever you want to do, it's not that I'm having a problem forgiving somebody, but I have a problem as a teacher with the size of forgiveness. Forgiveness, when we hear it preached, is usually too big. I don't mean that it's too hard to do. That's also true. I mean that usually when someone stands up to talk about forgiveness, it has to do with some big thing that somebody did to you. You know, somebody killed your best friend, or somebody insulted you in front of a room of people, or they did something really big and you need to forgive it and let the Lord have it and so on. Okay. And all of that's true. But for me, that kind of teaching is rarely applicable. Okay. We just don't have those things happen to us that often. So we store it away and we think, well, praise God, if that ever happens to me, I'll remember this teaching and I'll try to do that. What we need and what I'd like to talk to you about today is, I had to invent a word for it. Instead of calling it forgiveness, I want to call it forgivingness. It is not a specific event that's big and needs to be gotten taken care of, but rather it's an attitude. It's an attitude that is in operation in us when little things are done to us. We have these wonderful instructions in Scripture, Matthew chapter 18, about what to do when your brother sins against you. Okay. We remember the steps that we go through. But suppose you're just in casual conversation with somebody and they say something that kind of insults you. It's kind of not nice. Okay? Are you going to now Approach your brother and tell him, and if he says, well, I didn't really think that was so bad, then you say, I'm going to bring somebody else, and we're going to confront you about this together, and if not, boy, I'm going to take it to the church. Okay, no, of course not. I hope not. But that kind of thing happens to us all the time. All right? And what do you do in that kind of situation? There are some people in my life, you may not have anybody like this, and for this you can come and pray for me afterwards, but there are some people that I feel like I have to be really careful when I talk to them. Because the chances are, based on past experience, that they are going to get the wrong end of the stick, and they're going to misunderstand something that I intended perfectly, casually, nice even, and they're going to somehow be insulted by it. Okay? Do you know anybody like that? Please don't raise your hand. But I suspect that we all know people like that. And I have to thank the Lord. It's not a long list, but I have a list of people like that. When I'm going to talk to somebody on that list, I think, okay, now I've got to have to be really careful. I have to think ahead of time what I'm going to say and how I'm going to phrase it, because if I don't, the chances are good that they're going to misunderstand me. Okay, and they're going to be hurt, and then it might even end up coming around at me from someplace else, and I never even intended that. Okay, well, why does that happen? Why are people so easily hurt when it wasn't even intended? For an answer to that, I would like to read from some of the most beloved and well-known verses from 1 Corinthians 13. What chapter is that? Chapter about? Love, right. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 4 into the first part of verse 8. Okay, now this, Paul has expressed this as, the subject of the sentence is love. Okay, love does this, love doesn't do that. And I may read it like that. I may decide at the last second here to read it rather as the person who loves does this and does that, to bring it a little closer to us, okay? Let's try that, all right? Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, verse 4. The person who loves is patient and kind. The person who loves is not jealous of someone else, doesn't brag, is not proud. The person who loves is not rude and is not selfish and doesn't become angry easily. The person who loves does not remember wrongs done against them. The person who loves is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. This person patiently accepts all things. A loving person always trusts, always hopes, and always continues strong. Love never ends. I'd like to suggest to you that this is describing an attitude that we should all have. When we're talking to another person, when we're interacting with other people, and the people we interact with most often, of course, are the people closest to us. So I'm not just talking about how we relate to the non-believers that we might have to have something to do with on the bus or maybe at work. I'm talking about family, close-up people, also the non-believers, but especially the people that we're closest to. It's a kind of filter. A filter that, for the moment, we'll call love. I'm going to give it another name in a minute or talk about a different filter, but they're really the same. That when someone says something to me or does something to me, it starts out with a certain meaning from where it came. But when it gets in here, it can have a different meaning. And that meaning has to do with the filter that it goes through. The filter is me, okay? If I have a love filter that is taking these things, then A person who says something and it sounds to me or could sound to me like an insult, the love filter says, but that person wouldn't talk like that because I love that person. Okay? Or at least I should do. Okay? We have a saying in English and other languages as well that love is blind. Doesn't just mean that you can love somebody and think they're good looking even when they're ugly. Okay, that's also true sometimes, but it means that you don't even see things sometimes. Even if the person you love actually intended something nasty to say to you, you're not going to hear it that way because the love filter has filtered that out. You with me? Okay. All right, it's fairly simple. It's things we all know. I don't know that I've ever heard it preached before. Well, I have because I've preached this one before, but maybe you have and maybe you haven't. It's a filter. The person can say, if you've got a different kind of filter, the person can say a positive thing and you can hear it negative. Right? When I was a kid, a very long time ago, when I was in high school, my favorite author was James Thurber. Now, most people in this generation won't even know who James Thurber was, but he was an American humorist. And he wrote, among other things, a collection of fables. Okay? A lot of fables, he said, for our time. And one of the fables, I almost had these things memorized. And one of the fables was called, I think it was called The Weaver and the Worm. And it began with a wonderful example of alliteration. It's actually called assonance, I think. No, alliteration. It said, the weaver watched in wide-eyed wonder the worm weaving his web of silk. Okay. And then he turns to the worm and he says, where do you get that stuff? And the worm excitedly answered, you want to make something out of it? And it says they both turned and went their way, having misunderstood the other one. Okay? Each one intended something positive, but the other one misunderstood it. Okay? Now, this is not a question. Thurber wasn't talking about love. This is a question of communication. But very often, communication is a very central part of the picture. Right? And because communication is a delicate kind of thing, and it's easy to misunderstand, it's very easy to misunderstand, we need to have this filter of love that says, I will assume that my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife intended something positive, rather than assuming that they intended something not nice. Okay? It's to everybody's benefit to make the positive assumption and not the negative assumption. If they really intended it to be not nice, they'll let you know. Okay? But if they didn't intend it to be not nice, and you filter it through love, everything's okay. The book of Proverbs has a number of things to say on this. We won't take the time to read as many as I like. When I start to put together a teaching on certain kinds of subjects, I like to go to the book of Proverbs and just sort of see what I can find. And there's always some really good things. I just want to read about maybe three Proverbs with you. First one in Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 11. It says, a wise person is patient. He will be honored. He will be honored if he ignores a wrong done against him. A wise person ignores the wrong. Someone maybe even, you know, whether he intended it or didn't intend it, it was wrong. You might have thought it was wrong. Ignore it. That's wise according to how God sees things. Chapter 12 and verse 16. Proverbs 12:16 says, a foolish person quickly shows that he's upset, but a wise person ignores an insult. Amen? Amen. And finally, in chapter 16, and this takes me on to my second filter, or to my other name for the same filter, chapter 16 and verse 6. Love and truth bring forgiveness of sin. That's this translation. The Hebrew, in a more literal translation, will say something like, love and truth atone for sin. Okay? By respecting the Lord, you will avoid evil. Now, we all know that God's love and His grace, because the word that's translated truth here, and truth is okay, it's in some of our translations will be loving kindness or things like that. It's the word chesed in Hebrew. And chesed is the Hebrew word for grace. All right? And it says love and grace atone for sin. Now, we all know that God loved us and gave us grace to atone for our sin. But I want to suggest to you here, and in the remainder of what I have to say, this is the focus, that our love and our own grace will atone for sin. I'm not talking about atoning in the sense of sacrificial death that gets people to heaven. All right? I'm talking about what we've been talking about already, and that is, there's a sin out there, maybe, but if I love and if I have grace, then it's going to come through not that way. So now the name of the filter is changed to grace. All right? A filter of grace. Now this may seem a bit strange at first, because what I'm going to suggest to you is that we should be giving grace. But only God gives grace. Isn't that the case? Well, stick with me. I'm going to bring you some verses to back up that idea, because I think that, yes, God is the source of all grace. But I believe that as we read in Luke 6, as we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, that as was done to us, so should we also be doing to others. All right? As we have received, we should be giving. Grace, viewed as atonement for sin in a cosmic sense that brought us our salvation, is in a way a kind of passive thing. All right? We got it. Wasn't anything we could do to earn it. In fact, one of the one of the requirements of that kind of grace is passivity. We could do nothing. It was undeserved. We were just there, and all we deserved was punishment, and God gave us life. That was grace. Okay. But what I want to look at now with you is grace on our part that's active, not just passive. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And just the last verse of the epistle, verse 18. Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Messiah." Grow in grace. Now, if God has given grace on the cross for the atonement of our sins, ladies and gentlemen, as far as I understand, that's not something we can grow in. Okay? That's done. That's big, and it can't get any bigger. Okay? When Peter says that we should be growing in grace, this is not our passive standing before God where we received grace and got salvation. It has to be talking about something else. The word that's used here for grow is a word that means exactly that, changing from little to bigger. Okay, it's the word that's used in Luke chapter 2 when it talks about Jesus growing up. All right, the boy grew in stature and in favor with God and man. All right, it's the same word. And appears other places in the New Testament as well. And it talks about getting more and more into whatever it is that you started out with. Grow in grace. Now, I know that there are Bible verses that you can quote to me, and maybe I can quote to you, that talk about us receiving grace at a moment when we need it. Okay? Almost exactly those words in Hebrews chapter 4, in other places in the New Testament as well. Yes. But receiving grace at a moment of need is not growing in grace. Okay, that's a one-time event. I need it now. Bang, there it is. Praise God. But growing in grace is, in fact, something more that we do. an active part of our growth process generally. Let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter. And I'm going to read from verse 11, 8 to 11, sorry. 1 Peter 4, from 8. 8 to 11. Most importantly, love each other deeply. Love has a way of not looking at others' sins. Did somebody say that already? Open your homes to each other without complaining. Each of you has received a spiritual gift. God has shown you His grace in giving you different gifts, and you are like servants who are responsible for using God's gifts. So be good servants and use your gifts to serve each other. Anyone who speaks should speak words from God. The person who serves should serve with the strength that God gives. You should do these things so that in everything God will be praised through Jesus the Messiah. Power and glory belong to Him forever and ever. Amen. What's the picture here? God gives words, okay? It says the utterances of God, we should speak. God spoke them first, we speak them. God gives strength, we serve. God gives grace, we are, as a verse we'll see in a minute, in fact it's here, I missed it because of the translation, but we are stewards, agents of God's grace. You knew that phrase, stewards of grace. Okay, did you ever think what that is? Does that just mean preaching the gospel? It certainly includes preaching the gospel. But I'm suggesting to you that it means more than that. We should be a source of grace to those that we relate to. Okay, not just the message of the gospel. Of course, that first of all. But when we interact with people, they should receive grace from us. Of course, it comes ultimately from God. Agents of grace, stewards of grace. I'd like to suggest a phrase, and I thought it was a biblical phrase. Somebody will be able to show me later, but I haven't been able to find it. I was so sure it was in the Bible that there was a phrase, people of grace. Okay? Okay? And I couldn't find it, so I'm going to use it anyway as a cumulative picture rather than a particular Bible verse, that we should be people of grace. That doesn't just mean people who have received grace, as I've said, but people who are characterized by grace. In Hebrews chapter 12, and for those of you who are looking at your watches, I'm almost finished. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Try to live in peace with all people, and try to live lives free from sin. If anyone's life is not holy, he will never see the Lord. Be careful that no one fails to get God's grace. Be careful that no one becomes like a bitter weed growing among you. A person like that can ruin all of you. Okay? Live in such a way that grace is the atmosphere, that people who need grace receive it. Friends and neighbors, it's going to come from us. God gives grace, but we are His hands and His feet. We are His agents of grace today. And when we relate to each other, when we interact with each other, let's let our filter be a filter of grace of what we give and a filter of love in what we receive, what comes to us. All right? And how many of our problems will be taken care of? It doesn't mean, of course, so that you don't have to come and tell me this afterwards, it doesn't mean that we're never going to be able to see faults in the other person. We all have faults. And sometimes faults need to be pointed out and they need to be corrected. Of course, we all know the message. It needs to be done in love. All right? It's easy to forget that, but we all know it. But it does mean that we shouldn't be so easily taking offense. We should, well, I've said it. How many times have I said it? We can let other people be themselves, and we love them in such a way that when they are being themselves and it's not the way we are or the way we would do something or maybe even the way we would like them to do it, because we love, it comes to us okay. Right? What does this mean practically? This is the practical ending. I would suggest that we can check ourselves regularly. Be honest with ourselves. Let's ask, am I reacting in such a way to people that I'm putting them on their guard all the time? Am I one of those people that's on Ray's list or that kind of person that people have to be careful what they say to me because the chances are I'm going to be insulted? Am I a kind of person that is once a month having to call somebody and tell them that I really was ticked off by this and they really shouldn't have said that and before the Lord we really need to get this straight? Now that happens once in a while, but you know, I know people, and maybe you know people, that it seems to happen an awful lot. All right? And I would suggest that maybe if you're the kind of person who gets insulted a lot, that maybe you need to look inside rather than outside for why it's happening. Okay? Are you filtering things through love, or are you not doing that? Another check that I would ask is, am I myself reacting too quickly to things? When I hear things, am I reacting in such a way that, in fact, it doesn't give grace to those who hear? Let's just read two more things because I skipped over them and they're important. Back to Ephesians 4. We read this to open up with Ephesians 4 and verse 29. And I didn't say anything about it at the time because it was the opening passage, but let's say it now. How we, in fact, can give grace. One of the ways. When you talk, don't say harmful things, but say what people need. Words, and here it is, that will, this says, help others become stronger. Words that give grace. Those of you who are reading in a more literal translation. Then what you say will help those who listen to you. We talk grace. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. When you talk, the translation here, which I like this translation, is why I chose to read from it. You should always be kind and wise. The literal thing says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, be with grace. Okay? When you talk, let it be talk that is gracious so that you can answer people in the way that you should. All right. So are we speaking in such a way too quickly that doesn't in fact give grace but actually raises problems? Let's check ourselves. If we're frequently in that kind of situation, then maybe we need to do some changing. And finally, overall, ask myself, in any given situation, every day, with this person, in this situation right now, how am I to be an agent of God's grace? Okay? What area, piece of grace do I have to minister now to this person in this situation? And again, it'll be the people we're closest to, first of all. And that'll be the hardest. Because we have developed mechanisms with the people we're closest to. And that's where we need the most work. Then back to finish with words from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not irritable. The person who loves is not resentful. The person who loves bears all things, believes the best of the other person in all things, hopes all things, and is ready to endure all things. Let's pray. Dear God, as you have given us grace, we ask that you would help us to be those who give grace to those around us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to get our filters clean, to be able to take in love things that are sent our way, even if they're not necessarily sent in love. That you would help us, Lord, to give grace as we speak and as we relate to people. That we could be indeed your representatives and your agents and grow to be more like you. We thank you and praise you, Father. Amen.